You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello guys, this is Irish Sports Talk. I'm Randall, and joining me tonight is Kyle Gauss and from OwlScoop.com. Kyle, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about OwlScoop and kind of what you do.
Sure. So first of all, thanks for having me. OwlScoop is the Temple's rival site underneath the Yahoo Sports banner. It's me, my buddy John, my buddy Matt. We run the site. This will be season number 9 for me. So my first year of covering Temple Athletics was the first year that Temple football was actually that good again. Bernard Pierce, who later went on to win a Super Bowl with the Ravens, was a freshman my first year covering this team. So it's been a while since then. And yeah, so we kind of just were at almost every game. We cover men's basketball and football for the Rivals Network.
Okay, great. So obviously you've been doing good. Temple has been doing good the last couple of years. You had a couple 10-win seasons, but now you're going into a new season, new coaching staff or new head coach. Just tell us a little bit about that transition and kind of what the fans are expecting from this team.
Sure. So it's kind of the unenviable position of almost every Group of Five program. You have a coach that comes around, he wins double-digit games, he wins the conference championship, he goes on to a bigger program. So obviously that happened with Matt Rhule going on to Baylor after defeating Navy for the AAC championship, but it also happened to a lesser extent when Steve Adazio wins the first bowl game in 22 years for Temple, goes to Boston College, or Matt Golden does well, goes to Miami. So it's kind of almost old hat at this point for a lot of Temple fans. It's obviously a little disheartening just because Matt Rhule was more consistently saying, hey, I've always been a Temple person. I've been here for 10 years. I'm going to stick around for a while. And then he leaves to go to a troubled program like Baylor. But they get in. They get what appears to be a good hire in Jeff Collins. Jeff Collins will be the first one to tell you that Temple is not unfamiliar to him. Him and Matt Rhule have known each other for 20 years. He's always been following Temple. He claims he had his hand in a lot of Temple's decisions over the last couple of years with him and Matt kind of bouncing ideas off of each other. But there's still kind of an aura of uncertainty. He's never been a head coach before. He's bringing in an offensive coordinator that's never been an offensive coordinator at the FBS level. He's had a lot of success down at the FCS level with Coastal Carolina and Georgetown and all this, but he's never been a coach at FBS offensive coordinator. And they're bringing in a defensive coordinator who hasn't been a defensive coordinator at the FBS level in 12, 13 years since he was at over at Miami of Ohio. I believe it's Miami of Ohio. I'm sorry, one of the Ohio MAC schools.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of uncertainty, but I think there's a relative amount of optimism about this season. They do return a lot of talent, but there's also just many question marks when you're replacing a top 15 pick in Hassan Reddick. You're replacing a four-year starter in P.J. Walker. So there's a lot of question marks, but the talent level is probably higher than it was, say, when Matt Rhule took over 4 years ago.
And you mentioned, you know, all the different coaches that have been there at Temple, you know, and then moved on to another job or a bigger job. Do Temple fans kind of expect that with coaches, or do you think they can get to a point where, you know, it's a guy will stay around a little longer maybe?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of just college football in general now. I mean, you got Notre Dame's had a little bit of stability with, you know, 8 seasons under Kelly, but for the most part, I mean, Pitt's a stepping stone job. Penn State's had a lot of turnover in the last 3 years, so I feel like it's the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. I feel like it's kind of almost expected just because of, well, you're not in a Power 5 conference. You're in the best Group of 6 conference. That's not even close, but that's not a Power 5 conference. You're not bringing in those Power 5 TV contracts. You're not able to, even though Temple's coaches now make a lot more money than they did when Al Golden was here, when Steve Adazio was here, and when Matt Rhule first started here, it doesn't compare to the ACCs and the Big 12s and the SECs. So I feel like somebody that looks at it kind of logically, if they were a fan, which almost contradicts itself because fans, by their very definition, are fanatical.
Yeah.
I feel like if you look at it logically, you kind of see what's happening. It's going to happen at some point. If Jeff Collins wins 20 games over the next 2 years, he's probably down south again. So yeah. I feel like they expect it, but that doesn't make it any easier to swallow.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even as a Notre Dame fan and seeing the response to Notre Dame over the years, you know, when it's time to find a new coach, Notre Dame fans think they could probably pull a coat from any school in the country, you know, because it's Notre Dame. And so, you know, it is true, like you said, it's college football. It seems there's always something else to go after. Digging into the team a little more, I guess the big question is, from what we've heard, is the quarterback situation. You know, there might be multiple quarterbacks playing in this game on Saturday. Can you tell us a little bit about that situation and how many quarterbacks we maybe expect to see out on the field?
Sure. So the one thing that he's been consistent with since he's come here is Jeff Collins has said he doesn't believe in depth charts. He doesn't believe in depth charts in the sense of this guy's the starter, this guy's the backup, this guy's the third stringer. The rationale being that if I release a depth chart saying, okay, Randall, you're the third string quarterback, you're going to mentally prepare as if you're the third string quarterback. But if I release an above-the-line depth chart, as they're calling it, saying, hey, these three, four guys could play for us, then you can prepare as if you're the starter. Whether or not you buy into that, that's kind of a debate in Philadelphia, but that's the situation. So as part of that, he's come out and said, hey, I'm not going to name a starter, not only a quarterback, I'm not going to name a starter any position. Here are all the guys that could play on Saturday. I don't know who it's going to be. It could be any of them. For most of those positions, it's pretty obvious. Like, okay, this guy was a starter last year. This guy started as a freshman. He's going to keep being a starter. At quarterback, though, it's four guys that have never they have combined 12 pass attempts in their career. So it's four guys that have never really played, because C.J. Walker, who's with the Colts now, played so much. He was a starter as a true freshman. He never left the field. Even when they were blowing out teams, he was still usually in there. So this week, in the past 10 days, it's kind of been, okay, well, I can play three guys. I can play four guys. I'll probably play two guys, and the third guy I have a special package for. I still kind of think that's a little bit of showmanship. I think in their mind, they kind of narrowed it down to the main quarterbacks, either going to be Frank Neutile, redshirt junior, or Logan Marchi, a redshirt sophomore, with Neutile being the presumed favorite there. He's been in the program longer. He's bigger. He has a stronger arm. He's not as mobile as Logan Marchi, but he controls the offense better, they keep saying. So I think you'll see Frank Neutile out there for the vast majority of the time. It wouldn't surprise me if Logan Marchi does get in a little bit, just because he is mobile and because they don't necessarily want to fully commit to Frank Neutile if, hey, they don't know if Frank Neutile is going to be good, especially on the Notre Dame stage. The third quarterback to keep bringing up, the true freshman, Todd Mateo. He was a Miami of Florida commit that they flipped, that the old staff flipped and this staff held on to. He kind of brings that P.J. Walker really mobile aspect to it. So I think they want to bring him in just in certain packages, but I think it's mostly showmanship. I think if you had to give your percentage right now, I think if Frank Neutile starting, I bet you he gets 80% of the snaps. I bet you Logan Marchi gets a series or two, and then Todd Mateo's used maybe in red zone situations just because he'd be more mobile. But I think this is mostly Frank Neutile's job at this point.
Okay, well, yeah, Notre Dame fans know about having multiple starters at quarterback to start the season. That happened last year, and it didn't turn out very well. But how you explained the above-the-line depth chart, as they call it, that makes a little more sense. And maybe we have to, us Irish fans, need to ask Brian Kelly that. The depth chart came out today, and there's a couple spots where they have, you know, a name or this guy. And so
I don't think he was directly addressing Notre Dame, but today Jeff Collins made a comment about that where he said, you guys are so obsessed with depth charts. I've seen some depth charts this week that just have player A or player B or player C or, and he's like, what's the point of that? So I don't think you're referring to Brian Kelly's depth chart, but it was funny that they're both kind of dealing with some parallels.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, it could be talking about Brian Kelly, because that's how the depth chart was released today. Looking at the rest of the team, what would you say is the strength, or what position is the strength of this team?
Yeah, so on offense, I think it's definitely the wide receivers. They didn't lose a single wide receiver last year. They have a guy, Mental Bryan, who's a redshirt junior, who had 900 yards last year despite missing four games. And they're also bringing back Adonis Jennings, who's a transfer from Pitt, and Keith Kirkwood, a Hawaii transfer, has been a program for a while, that they both had, you know, 600, 500-yard seasons. And they're kind of really established. They also bring back two slot guys, and Isaiah Wright and Roger Gansey, that have played a lot. So on offense, I think it's definitely the wide receivers. The question being, of course, who's going to get them the ball. On defense, it's kind of the counterpart. I think their secondary is by far their best part of the defense. They bring back a guy in Sean Chandler, who's been a starter at cornerback since he was a freshman. Last year, he made the transition to safety. He became like an all-conference player at safety. They bring back Archel Foster, who started all 14 games at corner. They bring back bring in a grad transfer in Mike Jones, who was an FCS All-American, and they bring in Delvon Randall, who started 14 games at safety last year. So the entire secondary is pretty much there, despite them losing a cornerback in the NFL. So secondary and wide receivers are kind of what they're really going to rely upon. The defensive line's really deep. They might lack the star power they lost in Hassan Reddick to the Cardinals, but I'd say if I had to rank those three, I'd say wide receiver, secondary, defensive line.
Very good. And then what about what position has the most question marks?
Sure,
going into the season?
I think the obvious answer would be quarterback, but just to kind of add some diversity to the answering. They're replacing three starters at linebacker, all three of their starters. Avery Williams with the Texans now, and the other two just kind of moved on with their careers after they graduated. They're replacing a lot of experience there. All that being said, Temple's old defensive coordinator, Phil Snow, used to always say he didn't really recruit any of those guys because they kind of came in as like the last year of the previous staff. So he told me, hey, if I had to redo this, I wouldn't have recruited any of these guys. They're too small. Like, he meant it as a compliment. Like, they're too small. Okay. Their arms are too small, but, like, they're just gamers. They really, like, show up on game day and really perform well. But, like, physically, they don't live up to what he was looking for as a linebacker. All the guys that are replacing them this year do. They're bigger. They're considerably faster. The issue is they've had nothing resembling game experience. So their first real game experience with starters is going to be at Notre Dame. So that's kind of like the underlying story of this entire team, is while the talent level itself has been raised a lot over the last 4 years, there's a fair amount of experience that has to be replaced too. If this game happened in week 9, week 10, these wouldn't be question marks. You probably have a guy that started 8-9 games at quarterback. You have linebackers that started 8-9 games at that point. Instead, it's going to be all just throw them into the fire and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, we're, as a Notre Dame fan, we're glad we won't be seeing, was it McCavitch?
Tyler Medicavich, yeah. One of the Ben Harris.
Yeah, we saw a little too much of him in the last game 2 years ago. So.
Yeah, this defense would be a different animal if Tyler was still on this team.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Mike Elko is the new defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, and his last game at Wake Forest was against Temple in the bowl game last year. Do you think that's going to affect, what do you think about that? He's going up against Temple, and he just did it a couple months ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just kind of, like, putting my finger on the pulse of some of the people around this. I haven't seen things online where some Notre Dame fans, Notre Dame readers go, oh, well, Mike Elko shut down Temple nine months ago, and they beat them in the bowl game. I wouldn't call what he did shut down. They threw for 400 yards. They scored 19 points at one point. The only reason they lost that game is, one, they started off as well. They fell down 31-7 at one point and rallied back and then just couldn't get it together. But then, two, that was a Temple team that Matt Rhule had left. The defensive and offensive coordinator weren't there until, like, the day of practice, like in the week of practice leading up to the bowl game. It was kind of just like a deflated team. It was a strange team. And yet Temple still managed to throw for 400 yards. These wide receivers, Adonis Jennings, the Pitt transfer I referenced, he had 7 catches for 154 yards and 2 touchdowns. Denzel Bryant had 11 catches for 151 yards in that game. Keith Kirkwood had 81 yards. They were really able to move the ball really well. It was just when it came time for the red zone, they stepped in for a lot of field goals, and they just had dug too deep of a hole. So I think it helps in the sense that he's probably familiar with a lot of the personnel. I'm sure he watched that film and said, holy crap, where did Adonis Jennings and Denzel Bryant come from? They shredded my secondary. But on the other hand, he's dealing with a much better players now in Notre Dame than he had at Wake Forest. But Temple is also going to be bringing in a completely different offense than they had 9 months ago. Steve Hatton was at Coastal Carolina, had 7 quarterbacks last year and still averaged 37 points a game. So I think the scheme itself can be completely different, but I think it's better than the alternative. It's better than if he had just never seen these guys before. But I don't think it's necessarily a huge advantage just because both situations are going to be so different now.
Yeah. I think, you know, with all the coaching changes and everything that's happened at Temple, it's a completely different team. And, I don't think it matters too much. It's just basically the Temple then and it's a different Temple now. I don't see two different schools, maybe.
Right.
In your mind, what does Temple have to do to win this game?
I think what Temple has to do to win this game is kind of the same what they're going to have to do all year. They really have to not ask the quarterback to do too much. He has a lot of playmakers around them, whoever it is, if it's Frank Ntilikina or Urban Meyer or Hudson Taiyo. And I think their defense kind of has to just – I think their defense has to get actually just consistent. It's kind of the same thing. Linebacker and quarterback, both of these just need average and slightly above average production. I think the rest of the team built around it is in good enough shape to help. I think what Temple has an advantage here, not necessarily against Notre Dame, but I guess just in general, the way this team is built with really good wide receivers, a really good running back, and really good secondary, it's kind of built to not allow games to get ridiculously out of hand. So when I'm kind of like looking at this game, I'm going, all right, well, Notre Dame probably has a talent advantage here. If I have a coaching advantage because Brian Kelly's been there for 8 years and they went to the national championship game 4 years ago. But Temple has some NFL cornerbacks. Temple has some NFL wide receivers. It's kind of built that if things do start to shift towards Notre Dame advantage, you can kind of weather that storm a bit. Because Temple's probably even as good of a wide receiver as St. Brown is and as much potential as the grad transfers might have a wide out. Temple's secondary is probably not going to give up huge 80-yard bombs. So they're probably going to force Notre Dame to actually have to move the ball with an established drive. So I guess just the roundabout way of saying it is Temple needs to just not be overwhelmed. They need to expect the people that are sliding into these starting positions to perform to their talent. If at any point on Saturday the new quarterback or the three new linebackers are all inspired by Notre Dame Stadium, this is probably going to be a bad game for Temple. So they kind of just need to coach speak it, play to their abilities, stick to the game plan, not make big mistakes, which is a pretty easy way to win any game.
Yeah. So do you want to put a score prediction out there?
Sure. I'll do it just for sake of it. I think Notre Dame wins this game. I think it's going to be a lot closer to the 2015 game 2 years ago than the 2013 game 4 years ago where Matt Rhule's first game happened. They barely looked like an FBS program. I'll say Notre Dame wins this game 31-20. I think Temple probably gets a field goal or a touchdown late to kind of make it look like it's a little closer. All that being said, I wouldn't surprise me if Temple makes this game really competitive and necessarily wins this game. But I just kind of think it's early on. Like I said, this was 10 weeks into the season. I feel a lot more confident about this game. I think they're going to still be looking for an identity. They're going to be – last time they played, they were relying on 5, 6, 7, 8 guys for leadership that aren't there anymore. And the way football is, it kind of just takes them a couple weeks and months to kind of develop who those leaders are before they can rely upon it. I think Temple's still going to have a good year. I think they could still win 7, 8, 9 games and compete for a conference championship. I just don't necessarily see it happening against Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, it's the first game of the year for both teams, and I think fans are excited and ready for kickoff to get this season started. Hey, thanks, Kyle, for joining us. Where can Notre Dame fans find your work and or may follow you on Twitter?
Sure. So the website's owlscoop.com. That's owlscoop.com. Twitter, you can follow me at Kyle, K-Y-L-E, Gauss, G-A-U-S-S, and the site at owlscoop_com.
Very good. Well, thanks for calling in, and good luck on Saturday, and hope we have a good game.
All right, thanks, Randall.